This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Play the highlight.
Rick Pitino walks over to the assistant coaches, the inbound to St. John's. They dribble it out, and that's it. The number 10 seed, Arkansas, is moving on. Calipari best Pitino. And Arkansas is out of the Sweet 16. St. John's dream season comes to an end in the second round in Providence.
He threw it away. Pelly Pagotis. Did we just see what we think we just saw? Wow!
Confetti!
Amazing, Peyton. With the play the highlight
Thank you.
Clip.
Thank you.
People
I
have been
love
missing
it.
Sean. They've been missing Sean.
Yeah, look at that.
I went to last week, some of the segments there. I got some more for you coming.
Westwood won with the call. Arkansas 75-66 winners over St. John's in a game of Calipari versus Pitino. And this was like, you know, this was the first like kind of, whoa, eye-popping upset. You know, obviously McNeese over Clemson, but you know, St. John's was really, really good this year. And there was some Arkansas started like 0-5 in the SEC. And this is the first one I was like, okay, we got ourselves a tournament now.
I have you to thank for what was my best call of the tournament.
Mm.
I had Arkansas winning in the first round, and I had Arkansas winning this game against St. John's in my bracket. I picked this one. And so the whole reason why I picked this one, and we'll go over how your rules have worked out at 9 o'clock, but there were a couple different things you had told us. You'd said a 7 seed or lower has made the Final Four every year except for one since 2011.
Yep.
I was looking for, all right, where are some of our vulnerabilities potentially? And you had mentioned that there were a bunch of teams who were top 25 in defense and top 40 in offense on KenPom.
Yeah.
Out of all those teams that were listed, St. John's was not one of
right.
them.
Right. They were ripe.
And you said, don't pick St. John's because they had a first-year coach.
No, first coach.
It was the
that's Michigan that has a first-year coach with that school, so, even though Dusty May was at Florida Atlantic.
St. John's checked one of your boxes for like,
yeah, they were outside that. They were outside that metric.
They're not going to win.
Yeah.
And then in the list of teams you said had to be in the Sweet 16, the 7 teams you listed, they weren't in there. And so I said, you know what? This one feels vulnerable.
Yeah.
I'm calling it. So I took your rules together and did that, and so that's how I was able to make that pick.
All right, so we got some pretty good audio from this weekend. So in this game, Rick Pitino, and he went at the a couple of the coaches went kind of at the media during their post-game press conferences. I found some of these to be funny. So Pitino had this to say: RJ Lewis is the Big East player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 3-for-17 in the game, and he did not play the final 5 minutes of this game. And Pitino at the podium was asked about it.
You had RJ on the bench, you know, for a pretty long stretch at the end. Was that just because he just wasn't making them, or was there something more to it?
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
No, played 30 minutes, and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know it. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play.
Right here in the middle.
Was there one play with RJ that made you sit him the last 5 minutes?
You know he was 3-for-17. You know he was 0-for-3. So you're answering your own. I'm not going to knock one of my players.
Okay, Pitino's not being fair here. Like, I mean, first off, okay, if you want to have a standard in place for RJ Lewis, this clip went viral this week. I don't know if you have. Do you have the Did you have the clip of him talking about, it was like a mic'd up segment. I don't know if it would have been on there.
No.
But there was this basically locker room speech clip. I don't know if it was from St. John's or maybe from when he was at Iona. But it was like a behind the scenes look, and he was talking about nobody cares about your missed shots.
That was from the Netflix special. That was from earlier in the year.
Yeah, so he says, played that. Yeah, nobody cares about your missed shots. Get back on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like I don't care. I don't want you sulking. I don't want you change it. But and so the only thing that you would think is, okay, he must have felt like RJ Lewis was, and that was an awful game RJ Lewis played.
Yeah.
He took awful shots. He was completely out of rhythm. But I don't think it's totally fair to say that, like, you know why he didn't play. I don't think they did. I think they were really trying to get you to say specifically what happened. Why was he not in there?
My issue with this from their perspective is, like, I get it, right? You're 3-for-17. You're taking bad shots. You do not. That is for a November, December, January game. Where you don't use a playoff game to make a point, to teach someone a lesson.
No, but I respect that standards are standards. But
yeah,
then
I get that.
Just own what the standards are and then don't say, I'm not gonna throw one of my players on the bus. You already did. You did by not playing him out there. Everybody saw it. So just communicate it. Tell us what it was. This is a brutal shooting game though.
It was very bad.
I know at one point the 3-point shooting in this one was absolutely terrible. So Arkansas was 2-for-19 in this game. St. John's was 2-for-22. They were 4-for-41 from three in this game.
Could you imagine being 2-for-19 from three in today's world and winning by 9?
Yeah, it's absurd.
That is absurd. So a lot of people build this up as like Calipari versus Pitino. And Pitino was like, yeah, don't build that up like this.
I certainly have great respect for him, but we're not really close. Everybody tried to talk that way. It was just a Kentucky-Louisville, Louisville-Memphis thing. You know, John, we don't know each other's wives. We don't know each other's children. We know, so we're not really close friends. Like, Bill and John have a very close relationship, Bill Self and John. You know, so it's, I don't know a whole lot about him except he's a terrific basketball coach. I knew him as a very young age. I knew him really well. When he was living in Coriopolis, playing at Moon Township, I knew him very well back then. But years have gone by, and I don't think we've been to dinner one time in our lifetime. So it's we're both Italian. We both love the game. I think that's pretty much where the similarities end.
I'm stunned. I thought they were like, bros.
I didn't think of them as, I know they've done some sit-down interviews before, like the two of them together. During tournament time or whatever. Like, I think back when they were at Kentucky and UMass, I think they did a sit down. But to me, it was less about, oh, they're bros. I just thought of it as like, oh, this is
a very close knit fraternity anyway.
Like their stories are so intertwined with each other.
Yeah.
And I thought of it as more a rivalry thing than just, oh, best buddies. It was more just, oh, this is significant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are two big coaches that are at that. Like, I don't think of Don Shula and Bill Walsh as like super close, but like, oh yeah, they're two big coaches. Them going against each other would be a big storyline.
Houston gave Bobby his first big defeat of the tournament.
A heave from just beyond half court, and it's over here in Wichita. They go wire to wire tonight, even if it didn't feel like it by the end. But the Houston Cougars' sweet streak continues while Gonzaga's comes to an end. Six consecutive Sweet 16 appearances for Houston.
As Westwood won with the call. Is that Ted Emmerich?
It sounded like him.
Is that Rogers, kiddo?
Sounds like Teddy.
Sounds like Teddy. Houston 81-76 over the Zags. This game was not even that close. But that was Bobby's first big defeat. He took a risk, Peyton. Elite Eight and over here. Peyton picking all ones and twos, Elite Eight. Bobby took a risk with the Zags upsetting the number one ranked Houston Cougars in that Midwest region.
Very bold. Very bold.
And he does
respect
not
it, but you lost.
This was tough to watch because this was a game where it felt like Gonzaga.
Who?
Gonzaga.
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 Okay, yeah. A second.
Kelvin Sampson has yelled at me already for that. This was a game that felt like Houston, about 5 minutes in, Houston got up like 8-9, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it just stayed there the whole
game. Stayed there the whole time.
It was the whole game. It was like between 8 and 13. And every time there was a chance for momentum, you're just like, oh, Gonzaga misses a shot. Or then, okay, all right, Gonzaga makes a shot, but then they give up a couple by Houston. So this is something where there was just 3 minutes left, mm-hmm. and they were down 76-65. With 2.5 minutes left, they were down 76-65. And this actually ended with an opportunity. It was 79-76. They actually, Khalif Battle actually got a three-pointer off with 3 seconds left.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately doesn't come together. Had to take a risk. Had to find the sleeper somewhere.
I respect it, man. I thought it was a good risk to take. Kelvin Sampson, though, after the win, a reporter asked him about Gonzaga. And Kelvin was not having it.
Didn't you try to get a game with Gonzaga in 2021?
Gonzaga. It always burns me up when people say that. Yeah, you know, it's like calling me Kevin. My name is not Kevin. My mother used to say, people would see my name and say, "Hey, Kevin," and she would say, "Don't let people call you Kevin. Your name is Kelvin. Make sure they pronounce your name right." So that's why my antennas go up with that. Same with Gonzaga. They were our neighbors. It's not Spokane and it's not Gonzaga. It's Gonzaga and it's Spokane.
Jeez.
Okay. Well, sorry, Grandpa. Like, I get it.
I love Kelvin. I was like, he went a little hard there.
But look, I mean, look, it's Gonzaga. That is what it is.
Nevada and,
I mean,
or Nevada?
It's Nevada.
I think it's technically Nevada. Yeah,
it doesn't matter though.
They say Nevada. Oh, really? We have a meeting at 10 o'clock, and
you're talking to you're
talking to the boss who will say it absolutely matters with Nevada.
Yeah, it matters, Peyton. Now, Nevada is, that's one where, again, but that's he's fighting a losing battle here, Kelvin Sampson, because the Nevada thing still gets fought every year. Jeb Bush in 2016, whenever he was running for president, he went into Nevada and was doing some rally and said, you know, it's great to be here in Nevada. And everybody in the crowd went, Nevada, like, it's a big thing. You're still not getting politicians who are hyper image aware and like having to pick up on these little details. They're still not getting that right. So similarly, Kelvin Sampson, you're fighting a losing battle. Just if you want to say Gonzaga, that's fine. Say that. Just make you.
That's the right.
Him.
That's the right. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying if you want to correct him, fine. Do it. But then just move on.
Yeah.
Don't spend a minute going like, you know, when I was a boy. It's like, oh gosh. All right. Here we go. Old man storytelling time. Here we are.
More audio here on Sean and RJ 105 through the fan. Mick Cronin is the head coach of UCLA. He's always good for a great quote. I don't think he's going to be getting a sponsorship with a certain airline coming up.
Right now, guys, it's 12:40 a.m. and our season just ended. That's it. You're going to ask me about next year. Right now, my biggest concern is how bad the seats are on the Allegiant flight on that terrible plane that we're going to have to fly home tomorrow.
That's the school bus.
The cheese. The plain version of the cheese.
Hang in there.
And is there any chance that Doug got me some hot food, because I don't eat on game day, that I got something edible? Not next year. Not right now, guys.
How bad the seat is.
Like,
what are they flying on?
I mean, I've never flown on Allegiant, so I have no idea. But look, I mean, I certainly understand being put out by the idea of, like,
so it's a charter.
Man, I'm about to hop on a plane, or I'm going to have a middle seat, or my hip already hurts. I don't want to sit down on this plane. This is just going to be brutal. I'm hungry. I certainly understand all of that.
There is zero chance the head coach has a middle seat.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, I understand the idea of, like, you're getting ready to
on
fly.
On a regular plane.
Yeah, and you're getting ready to go, and you're just like, gosh, this is going to suck. It's just unusual to go ahead and air that out for everybody to hear. I would not have expected him to do that.
I wouldn't have either. But it was a fun weekend, in college hoops. As there were a few upsets. We had a buzzer beater yesterday. Derek Queen in Maryland. They come back and beat the upset hopefuls in Colorado State on a buzzer beater.
I thought we were going to get the UConn upset. I really thought they were going to beat Florida in that game.
Yep, I thought they were too. I mean, they were up. They were up for almost the entire game. And, you know, Florida crawls back. And
he got worked up afterwards, Hurley, too.
Danny Hurley. He always does. He always does. And he's sitting there in the tunnel yelling at Baylor. And I hope they don't screw Baylor, too.
I hope they don't bleep you like they just bleeped us, Baylor. I really hope they don't. Dude, shut up. That dude is insufferable.
Oh, you know, see, he's... I'll tell you this, though. It's really hard to not say, I mean, find me, who's the better coach currently in sports right now?
What a monster.
In all of sports? I mean, like, he's had a great run. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think,
like, today, in the sport that they're in, is there anybody that you would choose over him to coach in the sport that they're in?
Yeah, probably. I just need to think about it for a second. There's a lot of NFL coaches I would take.
There's good. Yeah. But if you were an NFL team, would you take Kyle Shanahan to run your team right now? Or would you take Dan Hurley to run your basketball team?
I'd take Kevin O'Connell to run my football team before Dan Hurley is my basketball team.
That's a take.
But Dan Hurley's great. Yeah. It's just he's also just
he's
a total douchebag.
He can be. There is no doubt about that. It's Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. We got the commercial-free expressway. We're going to go around the NFL. The Cowboys have got to get moving on a few contracts. The Giants actually make a good move. And then our best and worst of the weekend next on 105 Through the Fan. Micah Parsons isn't the only Dallas Cowboy that's got to get a contract this offseason. That here in a couple of minutes. Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. We got a Rangers ticket giveaway coming up here in the commercial-free expressway. We got a game tonight, Bobby Belt, right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Yes, the Texas Rangers will be back at Globe Life Field tonight. It is an exhibition game against the Kansas City Royals, but they will be back at Globe Life Field. It is a 7:05 first pitch today, and then tomorrow I think they're playing again, and I think it's at noon.
Holy smokes!
So if you want to go out to the ballpark, I know my wife will be out there today and tomorrow. So if you want to go out there,
the Fan, 6:35 pregame.
Yes, exactly. So they will be out there. Rangers back in the ballpark for the next 2 days, and then Thursday we get opening day 3:05 against the Boston Red Sox, and KNC Masterpiece will be out there from 10 to 2, and then we will be out at Keller Fire Station Number 1 on Friday with Eric Chiafalo.
Always gutsy letting us out of the studio, but our firehouse tours are back until the winter. Basically, until the winter, they are back.
Yeah, and so we'll have
year number 3.
We'll have Sean and RJ firehouse aprons for you, so for the grill masters out there, and then we'll have free Whataburger while supplies last for breakfast.
Let's go around the NFL real quick before we get to the Cowboys. Brandon Cooks has a new home.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, who had said some controversial things about the Dallas Cowboys recently. Not anything that I think we disagreed with, but just said, look, they've got their own priorities right now. And, if I go back there, I need to be used in the right sort of way. Well, he has gotten a reunion. The New Orleans Saints are reuniting with wide receiver Brandon Cooks 8 years after they traded him to the New England Patriots. 2 years, $13 million. So that's $6.5 million a year, which is lower than what he was getting here in Dallas at the end. Is that a deal you would have been interested in? Or do you just say, nope, this ran its course, and I think Brandon Cooks is kind of what he
is. 2 for $13 million?
Yep.
Man, that's affordable.
It is.
That's something they would have done. I could have been talked into it. I think it ran its course, but I could have been talked into it. That's such a cheap number for a player. It's just what does he have left? What are his? You have to look at his metrics. Was he was never, Kellen wasn't here when he was. They didn't cross paths here, right? He came after.
No. Yeah,
they just missed each other.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not crying over it. I could have been talked into it. $6.5 million is nothing.
Yeah, I think that if you're just talking about you need a value and you need somebody who's going to basically just be a baseline contributor for you at the number two receiver, he can be that if you use him the correct way. But the problem is Dallas didn't always consistently use him the right way. And right now, I don't feel like they've got a legitimate, I don't think they have a legitimate three right now, to be honest, much less a legitimate two. But so you're going to be asking
their
somebody.
A legitimate two might be a legitimate three.
You're asking a questionable three to be your two. Mm-hmm. And that's a big ask. At the very least, I know Brandon Cooks is a legit three.
I think he's a very good three at this point in his career. And that's where it ends. You're going to have to get a legit two. And that may be coming in the draft. We don't know. They can always draft somebody. And I think that, this whole idea that the Bengals didn't need to sign T. Higgins because they already had Ja'Marr Chase. No, you really do need two legit wide receivers. I mean, the number two wide receiver is a starting position on the end, and it's no different than your right tackle.
Yeah.
It's a starting position. You got to have it, especially in today's world, but or today's NFL. So Cooks gets a deal with New Orleans. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he doesn't have a deal, and the decision might come after the draft. But he was in Pittsburgh over the weekend. I got a text from my guy Chris Mack in Pittsburgh. He joined us during Steelers week. We played them, and he was like, it's happening. It's happening. He's in the building. Can't let him out of the building. Can't let him out of the building. They want him. They want him there. But he does leave the building.
Yeah, he does leave the building, doesn't ultimately get it done. But I think it's indicative, given the next story we're going to talk about here before we jump into the Cowboys, I think it's indicative that right now it's Pittsburgh or bust. Either he signs with the Steelers or he hangs it up or he waits around until August and just says, let me see if anybody gets hurt. Yep. I still think Pittsburgh and Rodgers is a great fit.
Yeah, I think it's good.
All the success that he clearly had, as odd of a fit as it seemed like Rodgers in Green Bay was, that proved to kind of be the exact type of environment that he needed. And there's nothing that's more AFC Green Bay than Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That's 100% what it is. So to me, I think he'd be beloved in Pittsburgh. I think he's familiar with that kind of a community, that kind of a feel, just given what he did in Green Bay for as long as he did. Jets was too big. New York was too big a scenario to try and execute what he wanted to do. Just like when Favre went to the Jets and it melted down. I think Pittsburgh's a great fit for him, and I ultimately would like to see him play there if he's going to extend his career. Otherwise, yeah, just hang it up. We've all had enough.
Now, what do you think, though, of the fact that he might now wait until after the draft? And look, I don't think it's a big deal. He's not going to OTAs and minicamp anyway. And if he does, you're lucky. You got to count on him not being there. So, you know, maybe he's waiting for a quarterback of a different team to trip over their dog like Derek Holland did.
Yeah.
You know? Or get suspended for the year for something, you know, a gambling scandal or whatever, right? They're looking for something. Maybe other teams that are high enough in the draft that don't land the quarterback they're looking for, and he gets another option. But right now, because you're right, because we are going to talk about the Giants in a second, it does look like Pittsburgh or bust. So if you're him, it's like even more. You weren't even in a rush to begin with. Now it's even more of a no rush.
Yeah, because it's one suitor at the moment. It's one suitor. See if it's a fit. And if it isn't, you'll just wait around for something to open up. Ultimately, again, if he's going to play, I think Pittsburgh is the fit. Don't wait around for something else. Go there. And if it doesn't work out, fine. Just retire. Just hang it up. You've been around for long enough.
I absolutely hate this, but the Giants did something smart at quarterback. They have signed Jameis Winston to a 2-year deal. Now, this does a couple of things. One, it basically ensures that they won't win because Jameis doesn't win.
But not frequently. His best year, he was 9-7.
But two, it also says something really, really bad for all of us. It makes the Giants watchable. And that means that they are going to shoehorn them into every stinking primetime game that they can find. There is now, like, before that, the networks knew the Giants were not watchable, but the networks need no excuses, zero, to put them on primetime games. But Jameis makes them watchable. They'll score a ton of points. They'll be on TV, and we don't need that. We don't need the Giants on TV. They're a non-factor. But now they're going to be all over it.
Well, and this is a case of Jameis is just dangerous enough to either
give them hope.
Yeah, just to make he will make a difference in the game. Like, he's dangerous enough to either win the game because he gets hot, or he's dangerous enough to just lose it. And either way, he's going to be a major impact as to why did this game turn out the way it did.
He's a great quote. He is awesome. I can't wait for his post-career podcast. Maybe put him on TV.
He was good at the Super Bowl.
He was fantastic. He will throw for 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions.
Yep.
And it is going to be, it is must-see TV. He literally is must-see TV. But the Giants are just boring. But now they're kind of like, all right.
I mean, they'll be able to push the ball because he will take chances. He'll push the ball down the field. He'll try to be aggressive. That'll be good for Malik Nabers. But yeah, it's obviously, if you're running with Jameis Winston next year, you're not necessarily thinking, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl. By the way, 12 touchdown passes next year. That's all he needs. 12, Chop, to pass Troy Aikman on the all-time touchdowns list.
Are you kidding me?
He needs 12 touchdown passes.
Oh, God.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
He's at 154 right now. Troy had 165. But he needs 12 touchdown passes. He's still 31 interceptions away from passing Troy for interceptions.
Oh.
If he throws for 12 touchdowns and 30 interceptions next year, he will pass Troy for touchdown passes and tie him for interceptions.
Does Troy have more interceptions than touchdowns?
No, it's just right now, it's the discrepancy isn't as tight on Jameis. 165 touchdowns to 141 picks for Troy. And Winston is 154 touchdowns to 111 interceptions.
I'm thrown. I would not have guessed Troy had that many interceptions.
No. I mean, a lot of it got skewed very early on when he played.
Was 1-15 year just pick central?
So he was 18 picks that year in 11 starts. He had 18 picks his second year. Then the last years he had 12 and 14. In between there, he was one of the better quarterbacks at not turning the ball over.
Okay. I mean, that makes a little bit more sense. Todd Archer had an article talking about the Cowboys' biggest offseason concern is not the Micah Parsons contract, not just the Micah contract, but there are also three key members that are in position to sign extensions. Tyler Smith has his fifth-year option for 2026 at a cost of $21 million. Jake Ferguson and Deron Bland are about to enter the final year of their rookie deals. If you, Bobby, were to kind of put these based on the market for each, you know, what is the most, hey, you got to do this right now outside of Micah. You got to do this right now. And the one that you can wait the longest on.
The one you need to get done now, like have to, is Deron Bland.
That because of Deron or because of the corner market?
Yes.
All right.
Both. I mean, the corner market's starting to shoot up. He's in the last year of his deal.
So he's not coming to camp without a deal, and neither's Ferg.
I don't think Bland will. Yeah, I would think Bland might not show up if he doesn't have a deal. I don't know that for certain. He's also just he's wired different. It's one of the reasons they love him. So he might be one of these guys who just says, I'd show up. But most players in his position would not. Ferguson, I don't think Ferguson would hold out for a contract because I don't think he's at the top of the market. It's not the same sort of standoff. Tyler Smith, he'll be there. Tyler Smith is not in the last year of his deal. The one that's the most urgent to me is Bland because, like I said, corner market's going up, keeps getting more expensive every day. He's in the last year of his deal. You want to get that handled. Tyler Smith can wait the longest. You should get it done early. You should get ahead of things. But Tyler Smith this will be the fourth year. Mm-hmm. He's got his fifth-year option. Like, he's got some room here where you don't have to get that done right now. And then the one that I would think would be the easiest to get done to me would be Jake Ferguson, though. That's the one that right now you're probably buying a little low, given how things went last year, which was he had a disappointing year. It was not as good as you wanted it to be. I know he got banged up a little bit, but even before that, it wasn't as good as everybody had projected, as everybody was really hoping it would be. So his value is probably a little bit lower right now than it would have been if he would have replicated mm-hmm. his second year. And so to me, that's the one that, hey, buy now on that. Try to buy now, get that one done. That one shouldn't be too ridiculous. You expect that he's going to play better. So just lock that one in.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's obvious the sooner the better on the corner market. It's so expensive. So the sooner the better on Bland. And like you said, I don't think he's going to be in camp. Most people in his situation would not be in camp. You know, I think you could drag your feet on Ferg if you want to, because I'll tell you this. I never hear anything about the tight end market.
It has not exploded like the other ones. Who's the highest paid tight end in the NFL?
I assume it's Travis Kelce.
It is.
Or Kittle.
It's Kelce. How much do you think he makes on average?
18? 16?
17. So you're talking about...
I mean, I had a bookend.
You went on the left side and the right side.
I mean, I had a bookend, dude. Come on. What are we doing?
So you're talking about if Travis Kelce played running back, he would be the third highest paid running back in the NFL.
Oh, boy.
If he played receiver, he'd be the 23rd ranked receiver in the NFL. If he played offensive line, he would be the... what number is that? He would be the 37th highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. So tight end is one that is not a ridiculous price value as it stands right now. Ferguson's had a year down. In fact, I'll give you some just quick projections. You tell me.
Real quick.
Yeah.
How much? So they've always had discussions in the build. How much of their discussions are, do we really want to bring him back? Like, do you think they want him?
Ferguson?
Yeah.
Yes, I think they do.
Okay.
I think they like him.
I like him too. I think he's great. I think he's good. He's a good interview, obviously, but I think he's a really good player. But, you know, he didn't have his best year.
No, but I mean, again, a lot of things were against off about them, yeah. last year. So here's the deal with, I'll give you contract projections for all these. You tell me if you feel like you can afford to do these right now. On Jake Ferguson, 4 years, $52 million, $30 million guaranteed. So that would give him $13 million annually. That would make him the seventh highest paid tight end in the NFL right now.
13 annually. It's four. How many?
It's four for 52 with $30 million guaranteed. So that's $13 million a year. That would make him the seventh highest paid tight end in the NFL, and it would put him $1 million above where Dalton Schultz is right now.
Yeah,
that's the number you use, David.
And I think that's right over there. It would also make him the seventh highest paid in terms of total guarantee. So to me, that's an easy one that I think you get done right now. Next contract here, let's go with the one that seems a little more pertinent right now to get done. Daron Bland. Daron Bland, you go 5 years, $120 million. And you do $70 million guaranteed.
Help me with my math. What is five? How much is a year per year?
It's $24 million a year. That would make him tied with Sertan for the fourth highest paid.
Is he that good?
And the $70 million total guaranteed would make him fifth behind Denzel Ward, J.C. Horn, Sertan, and Derek Stingley.
Are you overpaying?
No, you're paying what the market says. Because if you look at right about, like, J.C. Horn making 25 is kind of absurd. Bland is definitely above Horn. And you're talking about Jair Alexander is about, you know, Jair Alexander has really come down. He's making $21 million a year. He's fifth on the list. I think you absolutely have to pay Bland 24. He's an all-pro. He's already been an all-pro corner for you.
Okay. I'm down. Whatever.
So you're just easy. No problem.
Yeah.
You're in? Okay. All right.
They need players.
Next on this list is Tyler Smith, and this is the one where you might need to wait a little bit. 5 years, $125 million. That makes him the highest paid guard in the NFL, just over Trey Smith. And then you give him $65 million guaranteed, which would be the most guaranteed at the position by $2 million over Robert Hunt at the Panthers.
I think he's really good.
And already made a Pro Bowl, already been a second team All-Pro. You are projecting out a little bit, continued growth. So this is just, he is a prime candidate for, that's out of all those three, he's the prime candidate for, has the best case to say, I need to be paid at the top of the market.
All right, so 65 for Dak, 35 for Mike. Sorry, what's for 35 for Lamb? Mike is going to get 45?
Probably 40 to 42, I would guess.
All right.
But 60 for Dak, 35, it's actually 34 for Lamb. Probably, we'll say it's 41 for Micah. You've already got, what, 20 in Osa.
Man, you were looking at, oh, God.
And then 25 and 24 and Tyler Smith and Daron Bland.
That's $190 million for five players.
It's significant.
That's significant. It's cost doing business.
Yeah, I mean, look, you draft good players, you get, that's what it's going
to
end up
being. Listen, you're going to pay that money either way. Either you're going to pay it to your own, or you're going to pay it to guys that you don't know how they're going to, you know, react when they get here.
What's the easiest of those three to walk away from? On the Tyler Smith, Daron Bland, or Jake Ferguson one? I feel like you think it's Bland.
No, I think Bland is the... No, I think the easiest one to walk away from is Ferguson, because I think you could find Ferguson.
Okay.
I like Jake a lot, but I think you can find Jake Ferguson. I don't know, like, you know, finding a good corner is not easy.
No, I know that was the one that you gave some resistance to.
Is that a little much?
That's just only because, like, you know, I don't know, is he the fifth best corner in the league? You know, like, that's how I'm looking at it, but.
Rex on the YouTube says, pay Bland in all caps. He wants that one getting done. I think you're right. It's probably Ferguson is the easiest one that you would move from, but, man, I think that at that value, that's still probably one where I'd say, get all three of them done, figure it out. Do whatever you did. 940, going to overpay for Bland just like we did. Diggs, slightly above average corner. I would disagree, and I also think the mentality is different for those two players. I think the Cowboys feel like Bland is going to be more locked in than Diggs.
I think he's more than slightly above average. I think like slightly above average, I'm like, is a six. I think he's like a 7.5.
I think he's a really, really good
player.
I think
he's really, really good. I don't have a major problem paying him. All right, Tolos, let us hook you up with the Rangers ticket giveaway.
All right.
Sorry, Tolos. That's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of Rangers tickets when they take on the Tampa Bay Rays on April 4th. And there will also be a Peagle bobblehead giveaway for the first 15,000 fans in the stadium. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right.
Boy, the Peagle bobblehead. Well,
I thought you said something else. I was like, what? Okay, it is it's Sean and RJ here on 105 through the Fan. It is time for our best and worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad f***ing weekend.
Bobby, you want to kick this one off?
Sure, I can start off for us. It was there was definitely some good and some bad on this weekend for me. The bad, right off the bat, I was slated to go to the wedding of one Zach Rowe. Zero.
Yeah.
And
we got the half invite to that.
Okay, so here's, I'm gonna stick up for Zero on this one because you guys have been busting balls in the group text. Is that Zero and his lovely bride Lauren were getting married in Waxahachie, and they just said, "Hey, would love for you guys to be there because of just limitations with our space. Stuff like that we can't have plus ones. Like we're just inviting. We're trying to prioritize and get as many people there that are important to us as possible." Hope you guys understand. We love everybody. Just wanted to do this. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'm going. Others were like, can't do it. Can't separate me and the date, me and the plus one. And so because of that, there were enough, I guess, that had not committed to going that then they were able to open it up.
Yeah.
To like, hey, those who have already said yes, we have room for plus
one. It really is the genius way to get it done because like, you know, when you do that. Yeah, you know that when you do that, you're going to get a lot of people who are like, yeah, that's, you know, we're either both invited or none of us are. That's how I look at it. And I knew that was going to open up. No, I didn't do that. That's not why I said no. I just like, it's March Madness, too. You can't get married.
Zero's not a basketball fan.
You can't get married in the middle of college football season or March Madness.
Well, the worst was missing Zero's wedding because as we are on the road to Waxahachie, home of Meat Church.
Yeah.
For this wedding. Started about 15 minutes after leaving. Started seeing a little steam rising up from the hood.
No.
Started seeing some overheating. Radiator. Radiator issue. So ended up having to get the radiator fixed. Was not able to actually get down to Waxahachie for the wedding. I was very sad. I texted Zero right after. I was like, dude, I feel awful. You're going to have to let me take you and Lauren to dinner sometime after you guys get settled after the wedding. But I was bummed out. I did see that there was Eric Chiafalo, Zach Wolchuk. They were both out there at the wedding. Carter Freeman, Alec Medford, Reggie Atitula came up for the wedding. And cool. So it was, I was very sad, but congratulations to Zero and Lauren. And then the best of the weekend.
I noticed you were driving the other car in today.
Yeah, no. So we got it repaired. We got it back yesterday. It was the Explorer.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we got it back yesterday. So yeah, the Explorer screwed me over there. All right, best of the weekend has to be just dominating the links. That's what we call them in the golf world. That's
right.
What we use for the term for the golf course. Going to Top Golf in Fort Worth for Tarleton State's event. Thank you to Byron Anderson having us out there. He's always has us out to do the calls with basketball and football and different things like that. He was already talking again about doing some more football calls this year, but we went out there to the Tarleton State event, the fundraiser, and played in the Top Golf base. You and I both.
Yep.
And just it was good to spend some quality time with Choppy, helping him straighten out some things in his swing.
Yeah, it was good. Get I really
some kinks out of his
that,
game. Yeah. Made a lot of progress. I think this was like a par 72.
And not a par 72.
I had a 50. Like I know I've told you guys I would shoot under 80. I shot a 50.
Yeah, you did pretty well.
A 50.
It was solid. It was a solid effort.
I told you guys. I would
on your part.
I would. I mean, you saw me break. Yeah. I was surprised. You filmed a couple of these. I was like, these are going to end up on social media. But I figured the fact that you didn't send them out is because you want to keep some of those swing tips to yourself.
Well, that and, you know, my camera's got a crack in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a crack in the protector.
Oh.
So it just got like a little glare. So it doesn't come out as well.
No, I enjoyed it. I did enjoy going out there swinging the clubs. Kristen was in my bay with me. I wish I would have asked more questions. I'm terrible about asking questions on these things. In fact, I'll read you guys the text that I sent Choppy when we were getting ready to leave on Sunday morning. And I had said to Chop, 9:23 a.m. for a noon event. So what exactly are we doing today? I'm confused by this. Chop said, same. Top Golf at noon, Fort Worth. I said, So we weren't supposed to build teams or whatever, right? Because it's just me and Kristen showed up today. Chop said, I don't know. I'm just bringing Sarah and Luca. I said, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
And yeah, we went at the end. When I got there, I was very disappointed. I didn't ask more questions. Kristen was very, she was lecturing me. She's like, you need to ask more questions about this.
I'm terrible at asking
questions. She's like, this would have been a good thing to like bring the kids to, or you could have found some other people to bring to. I was like, yeah, I know. I'm really bad about getting details.
I'm very bad about getting details as well.
But it was a great time.
It was. And you know, the thing is like, you know, a regular, I can't justify playing golf on a Sunday because it's like 4 or 5 hours. Top Golf, it's like an hour.
Yeah.
Get out there and play. And you know, it's like, you know, you got, because we got to get ready for the show the next day. So it doesn't take, you know, all that long. So best and worst here on 105.
682. Worst, lost my G-bag flag. Who's going to get him to sign for him on Friday. So he lost those. Sorry, 682.
We'll get you on one.
209. Well, I'm not going to read that 209, but that's funny because I don't think I can read that on there.
Best for me, I did my first lawnmower of the weekend, and I am happy to report there is no MOVID 25. That is the concern that I had last year when I mowed. I got the MOVID. I got big time. All the grass go into my mouth and my nose, and that's my allergies. But
1 year to flatten the curve.
1 year to flatten the curve.
Have you thought about wearing a mask while you mow?
You know the answer to that question.
I know. I just wanted to answer.
Don't be stupid. No, I've been taking allergy pills every day. So it's already in my system. So I've got it. You know, that Aldi $5 allergy pill, you know, the bottle for like 60. So, you know, it's working. It's working hard for
me. Have you not been a consistent allergy medicine taker for your life?
No, but I have been lately.
Year. Dude, it makes a difference.
And I have not gotten sick at all this past year from no respiratory. I've got like stomach issues.
That daily antihistamine hit, really does. I remember thinking just like, I don't need it. And when I consistently took it, I've never felt clear.
Worst of the weekend is I did end up as the main character in the neighborhood this weekend.
Oh, no. You every weekend?
Yeah, my 12-year-old Julian had a sleepover with four other boys. He asked me on Friday, could I have a sleepover? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I think he asked that. He knew I was going to say no, but I surprised him and I said yes. He goes, really? And I was like, yeah, man, go ahead. I was like, this is like, you don't have baseball. It's the last weekend without baseball for like months, so go ahead. So he invites four friends over, and every parent, when they drop the kid off, they said, do you know what you're getting into? And after like the third parent, I was like, all right, just spill the beans. And they're like, all right, you're probably going to get a door broken because there's always a door that breaks in the house because they try to like...
Because they swat you.
They try to lock each other out of the door. So this one kid, the bigger kid, just barrels through these doors all the time. I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess we're having to play outside. So I send them out on their way. And, you know, they were causing a ruckus through the neighborhood. I don't mind. Because I'm the type of parent, I'm like, if I did it, how can I get on you for doing it? That's just my philosophy, right?
Yeah,
kids have got to be kids. Boys have got to cause trouble.
Yeah, but that clearly doesn't apply universally. There would be other things you did that you would not let them do. Universally.
Like, I don't want my kid to be, you know, driving hammered.
Sure.
Okay, but like, you know, just doing little kid stuff, causing trouble. That's what boys do. Boys cause trouble, right? Get your knees scraped up. Break a limb, right? That's what I want.
I tell people that all the time. Get your knees scraped up.
I don't want them to get in trouble. And they did, because they decided at 11 o'clock it was a good idea to ding-dong ditch everybody.
No, not in your neighborhood.
And they came back, and I'm like, guys, you're going to get shot in this neighborhood. Like, everybody here is like stand your ground castle law guy. You are not good. This is not going to end well for you. And the fact that they all went, you know, Beavis and Butthead with the shirt over
Cornholio.
Their head, Cornholio, covering their face just to go up there and ring the doorbell. That doesn't work. Everybody's got a ring camera here. They got them like spotlights outside the house.
So you did not know they were going out to do this?
I knew they were going to go cause hell. I didn't know they were going to do this. I thought they were just going to walk the street like it was Stand By Me. Have gun, we'll travel.
Is Ding Dong Ditch more effective than the T-Ping? Do kids find it more...
They find it more dangerous, I think.
Oh, Ding Dong Ditching? Really?
I think so. Okay. I don't know. They find it more like, I don't know, whatever.
We've had the issue not of the ding dong ditch, it's the just banging on the, like, this has been an issue at the complex where kids will just go out and at night just hard bang on somebody's door and run off.
Oh yeah.
And that one, I'm just like, man, you guys are you're testing things, because if you bang on the wrong door and you upset somebody late at night, wake them up or set your
kids. You got little kid, baby sleeping. Ooh. You wake the baby up. Oh man! So I was the main character of the neighborhood. Shout out to my neighbor Brad. He decided to go down. My kids threw the football down the storm drain on accident, and you know, he opened up the manhole cover because he's got tools for everything, and he went down there into the storm drain. I tried to reach it. It was already in the. It was in the hole. It was like down the way, and he went and got it. So
what a champ!
What a champ!
Shout out to you, Brad.
That's what neighbors do. He said, Peyton,
my best. I survived Boston.
Oh,
my worst
is
I paid for Boston. You know, I refused to look at the credit card bill.
All right. Well, don't give too much. We're doing this at 8:20 here. Don't give too much.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
But
yeah, no, Boston was great. You know, I had to test the theory of, you know, is seafood better up there in the Northeast? I'd never been that far in Northeast. You know, I did think it was going to be a little cheaper, though, because I thought if you were closer to the water, it was easier to get the seafood, and, you know, food was supposed to be cheaper, you know, all the supply and all that stuff, but I guess not.
It's supposed to be a premium, though. It's like you're getting the best, so it doesn't matter if it's like, oh, we have access to it.
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
I thought,
oh,
it was
so
like
good.
If you lived further away from the water, you know, it took longer to get you the supply, and it was all, you know, money stuff, whatever. But, you know, it was still really good. I had the lobster roll there. I went with the hot buttered lobster roll, not the cold lobster roll, because I know you can get one or the other. So that was fun. Fenway Park was amazing. I mean, it would have been nice if, you know, baseball was going on there, but touring the ballpark was amazing. Now I know why David Ortiz was so successful there. That ballpark is small. That's a small ballpark.
It's
man.
Tiny.
I mean, they lie on the dimensions. The tour guide told us they lie on all the dimensions.
Oh, you know what? Let's just do it here. We're here. We're here. We'll do Peyton stuff now.
No.
I've been told by play-by-play guys that if you stand at third base and you try to pace to the left field wall, the security will stop you.
Why?
Because it's not 310 feet down the left field line. They lie in the dimensions.
Pesky pole is 297, but they mark it as 302.
Did you see the red Ted Williams chair in right field?
Yes, I did.
Is that part of the tour? Do they like stop and go like, and this is where Ted
we didn't go to it. We were like in if you know the stadium, we're like in a section above it.
Yeah.
But we got to the Green Monster, so I got to sit in the seats, and it's a real cool
you
view.
Know how far that is, that home, that red chair?
502 feet.
It's so far up there.
So there was one year I remember, gosh, this must have been 2010 or 2011. It's probably 2011. Josh Hamilton hit one that day. Well, that's as close as I've seen anybody get to that chair. Hamilton hit one that day I understand there's more math behind it and everything else, but like, that's supposed to be 500 feet to that chair. Hamilton's was pretty close, and I think they call it like 460 or something. But man, that's a ways out there. Now, would you pay, Peyton, based on now that you've sat up on the monster, would you be able to take in a game that way, or was it just a cool view, you know, popping down and looking at the stadium from
there? I said I would do it once. Like, I think you have to enjoy the game one time up there, because they did say that. I mean, you get your own security up there. No one's allowed up there that doesn't have a ticket. Like, you can't just walk around. So, like, you have your own security, your own concession stand up there. Everything there is your – it's like a suite, basically, but outside.
I have a feeling I would get, like – I'm kind of like a fear of heights thing.
Do you? You wouldn't be. Have you? Hmm. Did you never sit in the front row of like left field of the old ballpark in Arlington?
Yeah, I did. I never felt like that. I never felt.
I don't think it's that.
They
high,
did
but
have
I mean,
the
it's,
gap though. Arlington, the ballpark in Arlington had the gap though, right
yeah.
there. You know, this does. I mean, it is. You look over, it's the ground. You
like
know,
if I go to a water park, and we get like pretty high up, and it starts like the wind starts to shake it a little bit, I will get like, I'm hanging on. I do not do well with heights.
They said when the Yankees come into town, no matter how good or bad the teams are playing, those tickets are $800 to $1,000 each up there.
Jeez. Seems a lot for like a left
just
field
for that
seat?
Spot?
Yeah, oh. All those seats. They said World Series tickets in 2018 when they played the Dodgers were north of $3,000, $4,000. So expensive, but I think if there was $100, $200, I'd do it one time.
Did you have the movie set feel? Like, did you feel like you're... I felt like that with Lambeau Field. Did you feel like you were walking into like, oh, this is like being in a movie?
A little bit. You know, you got the nostalgia. Man, I mean, the Red Sox fans, they hang on to that 2004 World Series, man. They talk about it like it happened.
I mean, yesterday.
It was big. Man, they talk about it a lot. But no, it was great. Boston was great. I did dump tea into the harbor. to the
You
hot
did?
Water. I did. I threw it. Not like actually poured it over. They had to. It was in like a box, and you threw it over, and then reeled it back
in. It was brisk.
I threw Arizona tea in the box.
That's awesome. There you go. Very good. Peyton Russell, best and worst of the weekend right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is opening week in Major League Baseball. We got a Rangers game tonight, 6:35 pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan, and we get you set for opening week next on 105.3 The Fan.